Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomini. Today we learn Psalm 137. I'm going to do something that I haven't done until this moment, but I can't help it. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Al Naharot Babel, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu B'Zachrenu Etzion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We also wept when we remembered Zion. Al Aravim B'Tocha Talinu Kinoratenu Ki Sham She'elunu Shovenu Divrei Shalom V'Tolulenu Simcha Shiru Lanu Mishir Tzion. Ech Nashir Et Shir Adonai Al Admat Nechar. We hung our lyres in the willows in the midst. For though there are those who carried us away captives, required us as a song, and those who tormented us required us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But we said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? This is quite a famous song, instituted to be recited before Birkat HaMazon during the week, though probably more familiar as a Rastafarian Jamaican reggae song written in the 70s and became popular all over the world. It is most famous in Jewish culture for the poignant words of verses 5 and 6, Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand be forgotten. The psalm written after the destruction of the temple is an ode to the sad state the Jews were sitting by the rivers of Babylon and crying and longing for a return to Israel and the temple. In a small teacher's guide called Pirkei Tehillim, Chapters of Psalms, by 20th century Israeli scholars Dr. Yosef Roth and Nachum Sharvit, there's a section on our psalm. They begin by noting that this is the only psalm which records Babylonian exile and the notion of living on foreign soil. And Yecheskel Kaufman believes that this to be the latest psalm to be included in the Psalter. Now, to be sure, there are midrashim and commentators who say, no, it was all written earlier by David. It was written by Ruach HaKodesh and in God's spirit. But the way that it's written in the past sounds like this is written later on in history and it was added to the Psalter. The themes of longing for Jerusalem, though, that's not unique in Psalm 137. As the authors list Psalm 42 and 43, 84, 122 and 133 as examples. The Tehillim is replete with calling out and longing to come back to the temple, to come back to the courtyards of God. Nevertheless, they suggest that this psalm is an exception in that the severity, the pathos, the intensity with which this psalm speaks of their pain and their longing for Israel is palpable. Verses 1 to 4 open the psalm about the experience of exile in Babylonia. There we sat and cried, remembering Zion. Sforno speaks of the sitting, Sham Yashavnu, for 70 years of the exile, which is part of the prophecy of Jeremiah, and the crying, which is emblematic of the prophet Jeremiah, who sat and cried with them in exile. Sforno comments that the crying was actually part of the pleading and praying for an end to the exile and a return, since Sharei Dima, Lonin Alu, the gates of tears, never close. Malbim sees the setting of the psalm in a more positive light. It is at a time when the Persians conquered Babylonia and Cyrus has taken over. There was actually wealth and peace for the Jews, but the crying was on a religious level as they remembered Zion and what they lost. The theme of song, music, instruments is critical in the psalm, certainly in the first section, where the song, which usually is a joyous occasion to convey to God one's emotion, has been turned into a dirge. Verse 2 speaks of, we hung our lyres on tall trees or in the willows, implying that they stopped playing the kinor, the instrument used by King David, by Solomon, by the Levim, the instrument symbolizing joy and closeness to God. And yet, Malbim says, despite the good conditions in Babylon, they put their lyres away. The Gemara in Gittin 7a said that once the temple was destroyed, Mar Ukva prohibited singing, playing instruments, and listening to any music. Commentators and rabbinic decisors debated the issue through the years, and some maintained strict adherence to this prohibition, that you can never listen to any music, forget about during times of the year, no music, while others were more lenient. This just shows how intense the exile was to the point where Jews in Babylonia denied themselves the most basic experience of joy, or at least the psalmist wanted to deny people. Yet in verse 3, the enemies asked them to sing their songs of Zion. They mockingly said, sing your songs. But we responded to them, Ech nashir et shir Hashem al admat nechar. How can we sing the songs of God on foreign soil? Some explain that the enemies were forcing them to sing in a derisive manner, causing more pain and having to sing songs of home while in exile. Others, like Malbin, see it as a gesture of kindness from the Persians, who wanted the Jews to feel comfortable in their land and asked them to sing songs which made them feel nostalgic about their homeland. To both, the psalmist responds, Eich Nashir, how can we? The second stage of the psalm concerns some pretty famous lines that have been incorporated into every Jewish wedding ceremony. Yimeshkachech Yishalayim, Tishkach Yimini, Tidbak L'shani L'chikim, Lo Eskirechi, Im Lo Aleh, Yerushalayim, Al Rosh Simchati, if I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not set Jerusalem upon my highest joy. Amos Chacham suggests that the language of Im connotes an oath. He swears to Jerusalem, and that all of Shivat Zion, those people longing for return to Jerusalem, made this oath directly to Jerusalem, saying, if I forget you, let my right hand be forgotten. After contending with the comfortable existence in Babylonia, the question for Jews at the time is how to live their lives in this new land while at the same time never forgetting about Israel and never being too comfortable that they're in exile. This issue plagued Jews for the last 2,500 years and continues to be on some minds today. The answer offered by the psalmist is threefold. Prohibit yourself from all pleasures of the land. Swear that you will never forget your status of exile rather than diaspora. And remind yourself that the seemingly comfortable existence can change in the blink of an eye and that you are never completely secure until you are home. These three directives find expression in our psalm, and the third one is detailed in the last section, verses 7 to 9, which ends in a particularly gruesome expression, and it prepares it perhaps to shock the Jews into remembering that they're in exile. Zechor Adonai levnei Adom et yom Yerushalayim ha'omrim aru aru ad ha'yesod ba. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to the ground, to its foundation. Bat Babel Ashtuda Ashrei, Sheyishalem Lachet Gmulech, Shegmalt Aleinu, O daughter of Babylon, we hope that you're destroyed. That will be fortunate for those who repay you what you've done to us. Ashrei Sheyochez Vinipetz et Olalaich El Hasela. Happy will he be who takes your little infants and smashes them against the rocks. Commentators struggle to understand the introduction of Edom into the psalm, which usually refers to the Roman destruction of the temple. Ibn Ezra flat out rejects the notion that the psalm was written that late and explains the indictment of Rome as part of the role they played in the destruction of the first temple. Radak says it refers to a prophecy of what Edom would do in the future. Rashbam said the Edomites were so happy when the Jews were exiled in the first temple, they rejoiced when it was reduced to rubble. The psalmist ends on an extremely heinous image, which is the wish of the Jewish psalmist upon the enemy surrounding him. Ashrei sheyochez, fortunate is one who smashes the heads of your infants. Commentators conclude that this line is a response to an actual event which took place whereby Jewish kids were smashed to death on the side of the rocks. If so, the psalmist, by ending this non-song on such a dark note, forces his readers to picture the vengeance of killing babies in order to remind them of the exile, and he aims to shock his nation and shake them into reality. They are not in the diaspora. They are not guests of the empire. They are not up-and-coming citizens of Babylonia. They are an exiled nation pining to return to and to rebuild Jerusalem.